The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Show rolling right along. Jason Ross, Chris Verlot, no Carmichael Dave today. Checked in with us earlier today, had some family things to take care of. He'll be back with us tomorrow. Again, thank you to all of you checking in on the YouTube. Hit that thumbs up button while you're here. We greatly appreciate that. We referenced earlier Chris in his office, and the person that had the responsible for this Nick Cage pillow, is that the one that may help you with whatever they're saying may put in your office?
Correct.
Okay. So if you're on YouTube, you can see that. Let's see right there. Yeah. We'll see how he does throughout the show. He might go through a transformation as the show goes along. We take you till 10, and then we will have Styles and Watkins taking you till 2 o'clock today. We'll have a crosstalk with those guys, celebrity birthdays, to hit you up a little bit later. We also will ask the question, will the Kings ever get a defensive player of the year? They were close. Their guy, Doug Christie. I know he says he should have won it that year. I agree. He has a first-team appearance. Ron Artest has a first-team appearance. Doug has some second-team appearances. Not a lot of love for the Kings defensively in the 39 years here in Sacramento. We'll talk about that a little bit later. In the last hour, was talking about the Kings a little bit too, and talking about how, you know, some adjustments I think could be made, some tweaks. One I've kind of thrown out there as, you know, it's more of a wish list. I've kind of wondered and speculated and gone back and forth a little bit on whether or not it should just be Sabonis strictly at the five, or if someone else could help. And I kind of just threw out there the name of Jaren Jackson Jr. Now, how they would get him, I don't know. His contract is pretty friendly. I'm sure Memphis would want a lot. Anyway, so on and so forth. And one of our regulars, which I appreciate, said, it didn't work with Miles Turner. Not sure why we think it would work here. I think that is something that is an easy statement to say, and it's tough to go back without remembering all the Pacers games. But I was looking at some things to say, because I feel like that was said a lot in a way that's akin to Tyrese Haliburton and De'Aaron Fox wouldn't have worked. Honestly, I think it would have. I just think they chose a different path. You had two different things. It's a little bit like saying, too, oh, Jalen Brunson, it didn't work in Dallas. Well, he's getting a new opportunity with New York, and I feel like Jalen Brunson's too good now and would have figured out maybe he needed his new opportunity to, like, fly and soar. And I think we're seeing Tyrese Haliburton doing some very good things. I think we're seeing Domantas Sabonis doing some very good things. But just on the Sabonis-Miles Turner thing, when we say it didn't work, I don't know what that means to you. Because to me, when you say it didn't work, it was like the team was failing. Those two couldn't play together. They didn't function, and they were bad. Well, okay. The very first year they were put together, Domantas was in year two. Turner was in year three. And I got it right here. They finished 48-34 and unfortunately ran into the Boston Celtics in the first round and lost. The second year was the bubble year, or ended up being the bubble year, 1920 season. They went 45-28, so a few less games, but just a few wins behind. And they lost to the team that ended up going to the finals in the first round, the Miami Heat, in the bubble in Orlando. Now, the third year fell a little bit, 34-38 in a little bit of a shortened season. A little bit, not much, 10 games less. Finished ninth, won the first play-in game, lost the second play-in game, so technically didn't make the playoffs. And then he was traded in the next season. So, yeah, they didn't win a championship. Fox and Haliburton didn't win a championship. I think sometimes to say those things kind of as blanket statements, it didn't work. So it wouldn't work again? Was that not the right two together? I mean, that they had a winning percentage above 500. They made the playoffs two of the 3 years. They were in the East. I don't think anybody thought they were going to win the title with that group. Now, over time, could they have gotten better? And You know, they kept Turner. He's gotten better as a player. Sabonis certainly has gotten better. I think sometimes it's your options. The Kings had an option there to move on from Tyrese Haliburton to get a center that I don't think they would have had any other chance of getting. So they did that, and now they're in this position where they've seen kind of, okay, this may be the ceiling of where this group can get, but does it mean parts of the group along with other parts can't take them farther? So we shall see what the direction is the Kings go. And again, if you're of the lucky items, four-leaf clover, rabbit foot, whatever, wish good thoughts for the Kings in the draft lottery. Let's see, the draft lottery simulator. Let me go ahead and give it a whirl. One time, first time through, and 13th for the Kings. But it does say we're 4 days, 3 hours, 51 minutes, and 28 seconds away from finding out the draft lottery. On this one, my simulator, we got the Spurs moving up to number one, Portland two, Toronto three, Memphis four, and then the lottery. Man, Detroit with the worst record would fall to fifth in that. That's brutal. Washington with the second worst record would fall to sixth, Charlotte seventh, Utah, Brooklyn, Atlanta, Chicago, Houston, Sacramento, and the Golden State Warriors. So the Kings will have picks at, well, the first round pick, and then they have a second round pick at 45. So the draft, of course, isn't until June, but the draft lottery coming up this weekend. All right, some NBA news and notes. We mentioned it a little bit earlier, a little surprised that there was no suspension for Jamal Murray. I thought he would get suspended. They don't play today, but he did get a pretty hefty fine that we discussed earlier in the show. But I really thought he should have been suspended for his actions there. The last two-minute report, we touched on this a bit earlier, was not kind to the Indiana Pacers. A couple of those calls late in that game. Game two is tonight, by the way, in New York. I mentioned it. Chris, you've had some videos that you've shown me. What is that? Where are they showing those things? They're gathering that with the people in the streets of New York.
Oh, that's right outside the Garden.
Okay, but is it a specific? Is it just a YouTube compilation or like somebody putting that together?
It's something called Side Talk. It's like an account. I think it's like an Instagram and Twitter account.
On a level of 1 to 10, like soccer fans have a pretty amazing reputation of being as into their team and their sport as anybody. I think NBA fans are good. Football fans are probably more diehard. But what's going on in the streets of New York on those shows is pretty special.
Yes. I think that they've got this certain niche of finding the craziest, wildest New Yorkers and giving them like the platform to do the craziest and stupidest, because it's not just at the games. They do other like New York things. Like they did the hot dog eating contest in Coney Island. That's a wild one.
It almost has the feel of this could have been filmed downstairs and they got all of us to go act as crazy as you possibly think a New Yorker could act. Like, I mean, it's like it there's nobody going, yeah, like the Knicks.
I wouldn't say that. I would say that if you said like, all right, everyone go down and act like the craziest New Yorkers that you can compared to
the real ones,
like we wouldn't come close.
We're still falling short.
Because there's one guy that says something is just like, why are you saying this out loud?
That one is over the top. I love it when the kids sound like a 48-year-old New Yorker with language included.
Come and get these hands, Embiid.
Yes. It's like, wow, just that crowd is crazy. I said the other day, like when just the intensity of the Garden, you know, we used to kind of make fun of like, okay, the Mecca, whatever. But they are enjoying themselves so much right now. And I love, my favorite thing about it, Chris, is to see the famous people that are losing their mind, like former athletes of New York that are losing their mind there.
It also feels weird because I know it's not the case, but it feels like Knicks fans are just Knicks fans. Like all they want are the Knicks to win.
So yeah.
They don't care about the Yankees. They don't care about Giants or Jets. It's the Knicks. And I mean, it's what's it been, 50 years?
Yeah, like they could show, like I'm sure they do some crowd shots, like, you know, roll call of famous people. Like Mariano Rivera was there, former Yankee and current Yankee. He was with Nestor Cortez, the lefty pitcher. They could show them and maybe get a New York applause, but like if they show them like cheering like they were for the Knicks, that's what people care about. Like, yeah, you're a Yankee, that's cool, but you're here for the Knicks.
You're a Knicks fan.
Yeah, and they are Knicks fans. And I don't think, sometimes when it gets that big, you're there to be seen, But the way they acted, the way Marbury was acting, the way Starks has been acting, the way, I mean, their alumni, they're just losing their minds there. And I love it.
It's sort of, I think it's because it's been such a long time. It's kind of like when the Red Sox are making their run, how all of the Boston athletes yes. were Red Sox fans during that.
Yeah. It's cool to see. It really is. It makes it fun to watch. And every time they're in a close game at home, yeah. like everything has come down to the last 2 minutes.
Here's the thing I don't like about, this might just be an NBA Twitter thing, of, and we got a lot of it too, of just like, wow, you guys are celebrating. I think it started with the Timberwolves when they won the play-in game and everyone like trashing them and like, oh man, Beverly's crying and stuff like that. It's like, no, like you should get to celebrate
absolutely
how you want to.
And for the people that gave Kings grief for, oh, you act like you won the championship when they beat the Warriors. I don't think the players did. The fans did.
Yeah.
That was a big deal. It was a big deal. And then, yeah, disappointment losing 2 days later or whatever it was, 3 days later to the Pelicans was bad.
And I don't know about you, but I feel like there's a lot of Kings fans. It's just like, I wish they would have went further, but at least they knocked the Warriors out.
Yeah, there's one little carrot that's still there for them, right? Like, if it had ended, well, I know how it felt. Like, if the Warriors knocked them out and then the Warriors went and lost, like, man, that would have been about the worst scenario. At least there's that one thing. You knocked the Warriors out. Now, it would have been better to beat the Pelicans too, but that didn't happen. All right, today, when we come back, we promise this, we're going to talk about the MVP announcement, which is coming today. I believe it's going to be another one for Joker. How's he feeling down 0-2? We'll talk about more of the NBA awards as well. Also, one other thing on the Knicks, I do want to point out, tough news for them in the sense that backup center Mitchell Robinson officially, just there's like a stress fracture or a pain right there with his ankle. He is going to be out the rest of the season. So they're not playing a lot of other guys. They're about 6 to 7 deep. Hart has played just about every minute of this postseason, but they're going to be more of a shorter rotation again with the loss of Mitchell Robinson. All right, more to get to. Just a short break here. We're back in a minute.
Very good sources, and he just kind of tells it as it is and gets to the point.
Jason Ross.
He has a lot of pretty smart things to say.
He's good at what he does.
On Sactown Sports.
So later today, the NBA's MVP will be announced. We know who the three finalists were for the NBA MVP. And I believe this is going to end up as another one for Nikola Jokic. And if you think about this prestigious award, I was looking back at some of the history of this. If it is, in fact, the Joker again, I believe since 2008, we're going to have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Only 9 MVPs. Got a lot of repeaters. And this league is filled with so many great players. And the fact that the elite of the elite will block MVPs from others. And when conversations happen, and it'll always continue this way, we are always... media and fans are going out of our way to anoint the next person.
How many years has it been Luka?
They want to give it to Luka. They wanted to give it to Zion at some point. Now it feels like Anthony Edwards is the next Michael Jordan. Victor Wembanyama is going to get 10 of them. It's like, okay. Guys.
He's not Patrick Mahomes.
They can't. There's one MVP a year. You just, I mean, I think about, I don't know, Chris, if I asked you just off the top of your head in the last 10 years, 5 of the best players in your mind in the last 10 years, just without really any other statement than that in the NBA, just off the top of your head.
LeBron James, okay. Steph Curry,
okay.
Kevin Durant,
yeah.
Joker.
Okay.
Hmm.
That's good. I mean, if you get another one, that's fine. But those all have won MVPs, which is good. You picked all people that have won MVPs. But I mean, at some point, LeBron is four. It feels like he could have more. This would be the third for Joker. Kevin Durant is one of the greatest players we've ever seen. He's going to end with one. Kobe Bryant ended with one. Steph Curry has two. I don't think he's going to get another. So if we go back to 2008, it's LeBron, LeBron. Derrick Rose snuck in and got one. LeBron, LeBron, Kevin Durant, Curry, Curry, Westbrook, Harden, Giannis, Giannis, Joker, Joker, Embiid, likely Joker. But people want to, SGA is going to win a bunch. Victor, Edwards, Zion, like Dame's never been close. Fox is a great player. Sabonis. I mean, there's just so many really good. Banchero, like people, Donovan Mitchell. Hey, if Gobert's winning defensive player, you know, Towns is going to revolutionize. Anthony Davis.
It's funny that you're saying this because I remember when Luka was in the draft, I had people saying, oh, he's at least going to get a couple MVPs and an NBA championship.
Yeah.
And it's just like, where are you getting that from?
You realize how difficult that is?
Yes, I said, just the way that they're like, oh, at least. Like, that's the minimum of what he's going to do in his career. So I told them, I told these people, like, okay, so if Luka has the same career as Dirk Nowitzki, he will have a less of a career than you thought he was going to have.
Right. Right. That's a great point.
And Dirk is like one of the greatest players of all time.
Yeah. He got one MVP and one title. And there's nothing wrong with either of those things. And I, you know, I haven't even mentioned, thank you, text line, Tatum. Like, Tatum has been one of the favorites every year, and he won't win it and hasn't won it. But, I mean, he might win one or more. Who knows?
And ironically, the better your team is, I feel like, unless you have the Steph, the Warriors, like, breaking the Bulls regular season record, it feels like the better your team is, the harder for, like, a star to get an MVP. Like, Jason Tatum isn't, like, above and beyond all the rest of the Celtics where it's just like, oh, it's his team.
Right.
He's doing so well. He has to. He deserves the MVP.
Yeah.
Like Luka, Joker, it feels like lifts everybody up through his play to like, oh man, where would they be without him?
You know, Paul George, Kawhi, no MVPs. Like I said, Anthony Davis, Booker. Booker's got talent to win an MVP. It's really difficult to get that honor. And my point is, we are, you know, Brunson, the way the Knicks have played, like, he plays like an MVP. And there's players that aren't even in the league yet that are going to end up in the conversation that we're going to anoint as the next. That we just, you know, when LaMelo Ball came out in his rookie year was so good. It's like, watch out for him. And then the second you get injured or you get on a bad team or you struggle, like, it's now all of a sudden you're dismissed as, like, not this great player. We're so quick to elevate and anoint people that aren't just either aren't there or just putting way too many expectations on them. And also, some of these guys that we want to anoint as this next great young group, Joker's still here. Embiid is still around. You know, some of these other legends of the game are still going. Giannis is still, Giannis had an MVP type year. Why couldn't he win another one? So it's a really difficult task. It's a really special award. And if you look at the MVPs, I'm trying to think of the old, let me look back here. So Embiid was 28 when he won last year. If Joker wins, he'll be 27. Harden was 28. Westbrook was 28. You see the sweet spot of a lot of these prime NBA players. Derrick Rose was one of the youngest at 22. One of the oldest, Nash, 31 and 30 when he won it in back-to-back seasons. Karl Malone won it at 35 and 33. Jordan won it when he was 34. Kareem at 32. So, you know, that sweet spot of NBA careers, even with early entry and all that, is kind of in that 25 to 29 year old range. And that's why if you go to a team like the Sacramento Kings right now and their best players, it's why it feels like they're still in this current sweet spot window of age and, you know, what they could do. Sabonis just celebrated his 28th birthday. Keegan Murray this summer will turn 24. And De'Aaron Fox next year, at the end of the year, will turn 27. So they're in that spot where they've got experience, they've played games together, and they're in that really good window of kind of your peak NBA years. But today, I think we're going to find out it will be another MVP for Nikola Jokic. That's my belief. And I'm looking back at the MVP winners, like I said. The one that kind of got me the most was, what year was that exactly? Yeah, I think it was, I should have known, the We Believe Warriors was 06-07. When Dirk Nowitzki won it and was receiving that award after they got eliminated in that first round disappointment by the Golden State Warriors. But the Joker might be getting that when his team is down 2-0. That's the reality of the situation. But I do believe it will be another MVP honor for him. All right, still to come on the show, we got to get to who's hot, who's not. That's coming up. Let's go streaking. We'll see how we did there. We'll come back more on the NBA, some more things to tie up as well besides the MVP announcement today, some other awards, and looking back again last night at what the Celtics did, certainly what the Thunder did, and what else we can expect from the Kings in their offseason. All that straight ahead here on Sacktown Sports.
And purple. It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on your local sports leader, Sacktown Sports.
We got Let's Go Streaking and Who's Hot, Who's Not coming up in our next segment. Chris, have you ever thrown out a first pitch?
No.
How do you think, if you were asked to do that today? No real, you know, yesterday we were talking with Alan and Chris Watkins about, you know, home run derby and cuts. What do we give him, like 10 swings?
He was pushing for 15.
I mean, that's fine. We gave him 15. So what was your idea, by the way? You're like, we'll give you five more, and then we'll give you five more, and then we'll give you five more.
The idea what he would keep missing until he would be too frustrated, and then he would just give up.
Okay, I got you. I got you where you're going there. But how do you think you would do, like, if you got asked to throw out a first pitch, I don't know, with –
I'd be fine. I wouldn't like throw it like a pitch. I would just like throw it.
That's the other thing. Like some people, like I don't know if they're trying to. Like you can also. It's okay just to like. Also, that might even just save face. Like, oh, I just lobbed it. Like I just just throw it.
I can
throw it to someone accurately.
There's a lot of places that don't let them go on the mound anymore.
Yeah. Did you see Zach Edey yesterday?
I did.
So that one to me, it looked like I don't think like we still. I think we debated this for a while. Like Stephen A. Smith's, if that was like fake on purpose.
That was fake on purpose.
You think so?
Yes.
Zach Edey, it didn't look like that was, but it just looked like why do you try to throw it like 9,000 miles an hour?
And also, with a lot of those, I think we're not hearing the behind-the-scenes conversations.
True.
Like, you know, he's got some buddies be like, oh, don't be a wimp, but just lob it up there. Yeah. You got to, like, throw it like a pitch.
Who was it?
My favorite part of that, too, was the Cubs mascot.
Yeah.
Like, misses it, not even close, and then turns around, and just, like, the look of just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, like, where did that go? Yeah, was the mascot, was it behind the dish?
Yes.
Yeah, because he's kind of like what? Where did that go? Because it goes out of the screen. And he, you know, obviously he's huge, but he throws it from the mound, and it went dead left.
I will say my favorite one of those, which is, like, not even close, was Bill Murray just throwing it into the stands.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, like, the most Bill Murray thing ever.
Yeah. I know it was Russell Wilson, who obviously played baseball. I think Kaepernick, too, that got up there before and did theirs and brought it in, like, the low 90s. And you're like, whew. Anyway, Zach Edey, that's not why you would draft him, not for his baseball. Kings, like we said, the draft, a lottery, the announcement of the team order will be this weekend on Sunday. The Kings scheduled pre-draft going in at 13. And, you know, percentage odds are that will likely stay at 13. Zach Edey in the latest mock draft I see has Boston getting him at 30. 7'4", 300 pounds. And again, the inexact science of drafting is fascinating to me. I mean, I really am fascinated by the process because I think we could all go to maybe these workouts and these combines and watch and go, ooh, I like that player. I think that player's got a specific skill set, or that should translate. But that other intangibles of what makes a player tick, I think would be the one I don't know how you quantify. And I think when you're talking about, like, we just did the MVP list a little while ago, you can have great individual seasons, but I think there's a one, either just an immense talent level that you go, okay, that's just too special. But that drive, that work ethic, that desire to be great isn't in everybody. And they could tell you that, hey, I want to win championships. I want to lead your organization. I want to be great. But to know it, that they feel it, that it's what they do. And like, there's still stuff that you see now, I'm sure you've seen if you're on Instagram or Reels or whatever, and you see different things. Like, some of the stuff, Chris, will pop up. Like, speeches that you'll see that Kobe Bryant had given at a seminar or something, or a question that he's asked, and I'm like, oh, I think I know how I'll answer it. And then he answered it a different way. I'm like, oh, wow. That he just has a different mindset, a different – he was a unique player in my mind in that he was so immensely talented but worked so hard and I think enjoyed the work and the challenge of all of that more so than the thrill he got from the results.
Well, I don't think I realized how detailed like NBA's players' thought processes are until Doug started working here. And just like the little things that he would tell us of just like, oh, so when you're trying to take a ball, are you trying to do this? And he's like, no. And he's like explaining like how when he's stealing a ball, he's like three moves ahead.
Yes.
And he's just like, and then like right when you know, right when you get the timing down, that's when you attack. It's like, you're doing all that. He's like, yeah, you have to.
And it's so fast, but he can do it and he can process it. I remember Doug would tell a story of, I think he ran into Kobe one time working out one of the off seasons. I think this was Kobe, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, I think it was. And Kobe was like, you know, when someone would ask, hey, Chris, what, you know, it's media day, what'd you do? And oh, Chris put on some weight, looks better, stronger, better condition. And what did you work on in your game? And usually it's like, oh, I worked on kind of a little bit of everything. Or I worked on, like Kobe, I think the one off season Doug said he saw him, it was something like he was working on the, if you separate the front court into like four quadrants, and imagine the right corner to the next top of the key on the right side to the left top of the key on the left side to the left corner. He was working on like the lower quadrant for like a month. And just like, he was just looking on one corner of the front court. And you could just imagine like, okay, probably pivot to the baseline, pivot to the middle, fade away, step back. I mean, just the detail of the work, the passion, that to me is what fascinates me. Like, I'm looking at this list. I'll just pick a player that I remember from the tournament. Reed Sheppard from Kentucky is listed at fifth in this mock draft. He may be great. He may be a bust. Donovan Klingon, who was good for UConn, listed as fourth. It's not about what they averaged and their height and their metrics and their bench press and their vertical and all that. The stuff you go, wow, I could see them being great. But what you can't measure is, okay, I made it to the pros. I'm getting paid. I'm not saying everybody does this, but, you know, if you get a guaranteed contract and you're a rookie and you've been that good your entire life, yeah, I mean, do I have to work harder? Probably. But I can also, you know, sometimes people know just enough of what they need to do. We know in your job, I've done this show millions of times. Like, I know enough. Like, I can do it. But, like, okay, do you want every day to be the best show ever? Or, like, the details. Chris, you've run the board. You do it with your eyes closed. You know enough to get it done. Like, but if you're trying to do extra things and details and It's just the work ethic that you just the professionalism, the desire to be great. I don't know how you and how people develop later. Again, we use Jalen Brunson example. It's like he was nice, he's okay. He was a role player for Dallas. Then okay, he's got a little bit bigger role. He's the best player on the Knicks and killing it. He's had four straight 40-point games in the postseason. There is no way anybody could have seen that. How does one measure that? How does one – you don't. And you just – there's also luck. There's absolute luck in this. And, you know, when the Kings missed all those years, it's easy to now go, why would you take Thomas Robinson? Well, a lot of people would have. Why would you take Jimmer Fredette? Jimmer was getting drafted. He just got drafted by the Kings. Did they not have the right environment for him? Was he not, you know, could he have been better if he was on the perfect team for him? Maybe.
That's the thing you think about. If, oh, man, the Kings should have gotten Steph Curry. Well, would the Kings have been like the Warriors?
Right.
Probably not.
Yeah, would we have hurt Steph Curry? I don't know. I feel like his talent is too good, but I don't know that. I mean, the only way to do it is like to have clone the person and have them take two different paths. We'll never know.
Maybe he starts to do well later in his final part of his rookie contract, and he decides, you know what, I want to be a free agent. I'll go someplace else.
It's not good enough here, so I'm going to go to the Knicks. I'm going to go to the Lakers. I'm going to go to Charlotte, where my dad, you know, you just don't know. And then he got enough success with the Warriors. They started to build something, and, you know, probably a little bit like what we're – I mean, Fox was maybe close to thinking of leaving. Maybe. I don't know. He's still here. I'm glad he's still here, and I hope he continues to stay and enjoy his time here. But that inexact science of drafting, and again, on this mock draft, let's see, it has the Kings taking Jacoby Walter, a shooting guard from Baylor, 6'5", 180. Okay, 19 years old, averaged 16 points, 5 boards, an assist and a half, 1.2 steals. I couldn't tell you. And that's the thing. You can look at it. You can see talent from watching games. But what's the drive? What's the desire? What's the next, that X factor thing? The commitment to basketball. Loving basketball. Not treating it as a job, though it is. And wanting your own personal greatness along with your team's greatness. Tough to measure that. All right, still to come. We will come back and talk about who's hot and who's not. And let's see how we did with Let's Go Streaking. That straight ahead here on Sacktown Sports.
What's hot?
Yeah, hot. Real hot.
And what's not?
It's not good.
Brought to you by American Energy Heating and Air, Sacramento's complete heating and cooling company and second opinion partner.
All right, let's do it. Let's ask that question everybody wants to know. Who is hot? Who's hot?
Rudy Gobert.
Gobert.
He won the Defensive Player of the Year last night. He joins Dikembe Mutombo and Ben Wallace as the only 4-time winners of the award. He is also the first player 30 years or older to win the award since Kevin Garnett in 2008.
KG won it in 2008? Wow. Yeah. Okay. Anything's possible. Rudy Gobert. New baby as well. Congrats to him. Good time to be Rudy Gobert. The Stifle Tower's done a nice job of recovering from his, maybe one of those low.
Remember points. Everyone like, what is Minnesota doing?
I did not like it. I did not like it at all. All right. Well, who's not hot, Chris?
Luka Doncic.
Hey.
He did have 19 points.
He made his first three.
But in 41 minutes, he was 6 of 19 for the field. Surprising 1 of 8 from the three. He's also 6 of 10 from the free throw line.
And had the awkward fall. Ow!
Oh, there's also something coming out that in Oklahoma City, there's a 3.6 earthquake.
Wow.
Around the time of the game.
You and your love for Luka. Did that stem from the Kings not taking him?
No. I think it was more of the Luka fans in Sacramento that are just like, oh, he would have completely turned this team around. Oh, they're so stupid. Oh, what are they doing? Oh, he's going to have at least 3 championships.
I'm wondering if – I know it's different when he's your own player, but do you think there are Dallas fans that don't – Well, I don't want to say don't like.
I would say that they're tired of his
whining. Yeah.
I've heard that a lot from Dallas fans.
Because I did not like DeMarcus's antics over time. Like, in the beginning, you're like, I'm so pro DeMarcus. Yeah. He's a king. It's like.
And then you like, it starts to like wear down on you.
Over time,
and
so
it's like, you know what? He just needs better players around him. Oh, well, you know what? Like, they're really getting after him for things. And then as you keep,
DeMarcus, not now. No. And it's almost like you're disappointed more so than, and if he was on the other team.
Especially when you could see it coming.
Yeah.
Like, he should have gotten a foul, but they didn't call it. Like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And then he does this reach in. You're like, okay, no. And then he does another one, and he's yelling at the ref and gets a technical. You're like, ah.
And sometimes he just wasn't even good about it. I still remember this very well. It's back when we were at ARCO, and we were able to still sit low and had our courtside seats for the radio broadcasts. And, you know, he would get into things with players that were just smaller than him. Like, he wouldn't mess with anybody bigger than him. And they went to a timeout, and he was heated with Mike Dunleavy Jr. And so timeout break, you could still tell he's hot, especially down there courtside. And the second they start play again, I'm just watching DeMarcus now. Just not even watching the ball, watching him. And then Dunleavy runs to the key, and DeMarcus just a total cheap shot. And then he gets tossed. You're like, yeah, that was easy. Like, you just weren't even smart about it. You know, sometimes you're like, let everybody's watching you. And, you know, let a few plays go by. But he's like, no, I'm going to take care of this right here, right now. Anyway, interesting time for him. Interesting time for us because we get to check in with our guy, JR. JR, good morning. What's up?
Hey, I know Chris does this show with his eyes closed.
Well, that's been proven. No, there you are.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. You do your calls with your eyes closed.
Oh, no, Chris does the show with his eyes closed. You know he does.
For sure.
Oh, we got it, JR.
Yeah.
Oh. He's dreaming.
Yes.
And that's what he does, is he does this whole show. Hey, I got to chime in on a serious thing. You hit rant there on, we don't know what they're going to be. And I know, being around the sports for a long time and having a couple guys that went to different levels, going from college to pro is such a different world. Because, of course, college, you got guys around you, girls around you. Hopefully you're going to school, unless you're an Alabama football player.
Hey, no.
But you're supposed to be going to school. And they're all with it. They're all in it with you. You're doing things. And then when you get to the pro level, obviously it's all on your own. And and your ability to fail is very, you know, you have a short leash.
Yeah.
And so it can happen so quickly. There was a young man down here from Pleasant Grove, Marquise Chris.
Yes.
Got to top eight. Kings almost got him, right? We traded him within 2 seconds to the Phoenix. But phenomenal guy. He went to Washington for only a year. And I think, you know, gets to the pros, doesn't get in the right atmosphere, and it doesn't take much.
We're losing JR. Unfortunately, we lost him. But he's right. I mean, that's Marquise Chris is a good example. Great high school player, good player. Talent, raw. You could see, like, okay, I see what people see in trying to groom. And so when you're also working on talent and potential, can you capture that? Can you groom that? Are you the right system to do that? Do you have the right coaches? Now there's so many one-on-one coaches. And just like anything, you have certain teachers or parents or coaches, if you've played anything, that you just vibe with better. And like, everything they say is landing with me, and you're getting the most out of me. Or others are like, yeah, I'm not feeling this.
I think JR's phone was malfunctioning because he was actually calling with a serious point.
He got way too serious for us. Do better next time, JR.
Be better.
Be better. Thank you, JR. Yeah, again, back to that inexact science. I think we can all play that armchair GM and quarterback or whatever, but and I always think about, like, being in that position. And to me, it's less about money and finances and getting, you know, contracts. It's more of trying to find talent and then put it together. I mean, look, I said this to Doug. I said this to people that we would interview back then. And if any of them were here, like, if you looked honestly at the 2001 through about 2004 Sacramento Kings, the best run that they had here, why on earth did that work? Really, why did that work? You had Vlade, Chris Webber, Peja Stojakovic, so people from all over, in different styles, different personalities. Mike Bibby, Doug Christie, Bobby Jackson had been bouncing around, Scott Pollard. I mean, you had some misfits, some crazy guys, some guys, but it worked. It worked. I don't know how you can figure out how that will work, but sometimes it does. And it's like, okay, we'll copy what this team does. Can you? There's always a little bit differences in all of these teams. All right, it's that time. Let's see how we did with streaking.
It's time to go streaking.
We're going streaking! Yeah!
Who is the Nostradamus of MLB?
Who can keep the streak going? It's time to go streaking.
What the hell are you doing?
We're streaking!
Or are we? We all were at zero. Ready to start anew. Carmichael Dave and his theory yesterday was, I'm just going to take the guy with the longest active hitting streak. And so he went with Jake Cronenworth of the San Diego Padres. San Diego. Well, Jake got up four times. And Jake got a hit for Carmichael Dave. There you go. Yeah. So Dave's at a one-game hitting streak. Trying to see if I truly am the cooler. I took Alec Bohm the other day. He was on an 18-game hitting streak, and he went 0-4. I said, you know what? I'm going to take the guy that always gets hits. I'm going to take Shohei Ohtani. What could go wrong? Well, officially, Shohei only had two plate appearances because he had a couple of walks. And Shohei went 0-2. I'm the worst this year at this game. And then Chris said, I'm going to Old Reliable. I'm like, oh, Mookie Betts? You're like, no, Jaron Duren.
He's been killing it.
He got five plate appearances for the Boston Red Sox, Chris's former team. He got two hits.
See?
So there you go. So Dave's at one. I'm at zero. Chris, you're at one. I've submitted a text to Dave to see if we can get his pick. I'll probably get that off air. So, Chris, you have to make a pick. Anybody but Jaron Duren, and I have to make a pick. I can pick anybody from baseball. Let me double-check Wednesday's schedule, make sure most people are going. Looks like they are. So I am going to take... I'm going back to him. I'm going to Shohei. I'm not messing around. I need a hit. Shohei Ohtani. Chris?
I am going to take... from the Oakland Athletics, second baseman, Abraham Toro.
Abraham Toro. I like this. Chris is going off the board. Trying some different things for those Oakland A's. They do play a doubleheader today. 12:37 first pitch, 3:37 second pitch. You said, when we were talking about doubleheaders the other day, had you ever been to a doubleheader?
Yes.
You've gone to a doubleheader?
I have.
Really?
It was. I didn't stay for the entire doubleheader.
Okay.
I think it was the Giants Braves at Candlestick.
Okay. So you would have been pretty young.
Yeah, I was a little kid. And I remember they got, like, the Giants got blown out in the first game. Then I want to say in, like, the second game started, and they gave up, like, three or four runs right in the first inning. And then that's when the Seagulls started coming out. Because, like, they expected the game to be over, and my dad kept getting pooped on.
What?
Yes.
Not you, but him?
Him. And he goes, all right, if I get hit again, we're leaving. And it was almost as if, like, as he finished that sentence, it happened again. And he's like, all right, we're going. Get your stuff. Let's go.
What's your best guess at the year?
At the year? I'm guessing either 93 or 95.
Not 94.
I would assume not because okay. That was the strike year.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm going to see if I can find this game. 93, 94, doubleheader, you believe. Braves. In San Francisco. I'm going to see if I can find bird poop game. That's pretty cool, though. I have not been to a doubleheader. I've been to a game that went 18 innings. We said that before. But yeah, doubleheaders would be fun. Doubleheaders would be fun. All right.
Too much.
Too much baseball. And I don't remember, what's the official time? Was it like 30 minutes? Like the first game ends, it was like 30 minutes to the next game.
It was something like that.
Yeah. Like I went to last year when I was in Boston for a couple days. tried to go to a Yankee Red Sox game. The game got rained out, so they're going to play it the next day on a day-night doubleheader. But that was literally, like, they had to clear the park out because they had, you know, it was a makeup game. So I went to the first game, the game that I was supposed to go to, but then it was going to be a couple hours until the next game. So it wasn't quite the same feel of the traditional doubleheader. All right, break time for us. Final hour ahead. Still to come in the next hour, more on the Defensive Player of the Year goes to Rudy Gobert. Will the Kings ever get themselves the Defensive Player of the Year? What to watch? Crosstalk with Styles and Watkins. Much more to get to. All coming up here on Sacktown Sports.